Okay, so we'll continue. The Lord is Purnam, all perfect, and there is no possibility of his becoming subjected to the laws of material nature. One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that the Lord is the only proprietor of everything in the universe and that he is the original creator, the creator of Brahma. Now, how we know all those things? From Vedas. Yesterday we have discussed that the Vedic knowledge is infallible and it is beyond our sense perception, and to have proper knowledge we must accept Vedic knowledge as it is. Okay. And now Prabhupada explained in this paragraph that Vedic knowledge is coming from Krishna, and because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he speaks is perfect without any fault. That is a devotee's faith. In the 11th chapter, the Lord is addressed as Prapitamaha, because Brahma is addressed as Pitamaha, the grandfather, and he is the creator of the grandfather. Very easy. So no one should claim to be the proprietor of anything. One should accept only things which are set aside for him by the Lord as his quota for his maintenance. Is this understood? It may appear to be a very simple statement, but it's a very deep statement. While we are in this world, what should be our consciousness? Our consciousness should be of a Yukta Vairagya. Everything belongs to Krishna. Even my senses and body and mind and words belong to Krishna. And they should be used for Krishna's service, because he is the proprietor, and that's it. The senses belong to him, so senses must be used for his service. Now, we have heard it many times, but every time when we are engaging in sense gratification, we are forgetting this point that Krishna is the proprietor. Is it understandable? Now, philosophically, we may have understood that Krishna is God. But psychologically, there is a tendency to be enjoyer or competitor with God. That means, why should this world be for Krishna's satisfaction? Why should be this thought for be for Krishna's satisfaction? I enjoy it, no matter whether Krishna likes it or not. That is a tendency of a conditioned soul. We should be realistic. We are not. We cannot say that it's not there, but we want to cure it. Are you able to understand? I may entertain some thoughts, speak some words or do some activities which are not pleasing to Krishna. That's a reality for a conditioned soul. And that's a struggle for the conditioned soul. He's conditioned to behave in a way which is not pleasing to Krishna. But then he hears from Shastra and slowly, slowly learns how to not do those things which are not pleasing to Krishna. Okay? Yes. We have heard about the quality of a pure soul. He is Satya Sankalp and Satya Kam. So the meaning of Satya Kam was, he does not desire anything which is not pleasing to Krishna. Anyabhilashita Shunya. There are many examples given of how we are to utilize those things which are set aside for us by the Lord. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Arjuna decided that he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. This was his own decision. Arjuna told the Lord that it was not possible for him to enjoy the kingdom after killing his own kinsmen. This decision was based on the body, because he was thinking that the body was himself and that his bodily relations or expansions were his brothers, nephews, brothers-in-law, grandfathers and so on. Do our body only produce kids? Does my body only produce kids? It produces so many things. Even a brahmachari is producing so many insects through his bodies. He does not consider them as his brothers and sisters. Isn't it? So many things, yes. So now, what an illusion that we consider two living entities who do not know each other at all as their brother and sisters. Now, I'm not saying that there should be no consideration of brother, sisters, or man, or woman, or husband, what are those things are there. But to become so much absorbed in those relationships that we forget our own real relationship with Krishna, that is not proper. It's not that a devotee does not behave properly with his mother or father, or with his sister, or like that, but his real attitude is how I can connect them to Krishna. Isn't it? My service is not to provide for their sense gratification, but like how can I help them to become Krishna conscious? That is real relationship. And that sense he has for every living entity as far as possible. You understand? Because he knows that this is the only way Krishna will be pleased. And that's what Prabhupada is telling now. Arjuna is a pure devotee, you must understand. He was put under illusion by the Lord himself. But the basis of illusion was this only. If I kill them, he will say in the first chapter, if I kill them, I would have enjoyed the sovereignty of this kingdom only in their association. So if I kill them, how will I enjoy this? How will I enjoy my kingdom? I and my. That is the basis of conditioned life. So now a devotee, what he says, how can I please my Lord Krishna? Same I and my has to be applied to Lord Krishna. How I can satisfy my family? Instead of that, you can say how I can satisfy my Supreme Lord. And before we can learn to satisfy the Supreme Lord, how can I satisfy my spiritual master? Because he is a bona fide spiritual master, is the representative of Krishna. We don't know how to please Krishna, then he teaches us how to please Krishna. Make sense? Yes. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy his bodily demands. Therefore means because he was absorbed in bodily conception by the arrangement of the Lord himself. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord just to change this view, and at the end Arjuna decides to fight under the direction of the Lord when he says, Karishye vachanam tava, I shall act according to your word. Now, Arjuna was saying, I will not fight. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I will do as per your instructions. There are two different statements. He would have said, I will not fight. And then he said, I will fight. That's quite natural, isn't it? I will not fight before the Gita. And then after Gita, I will fight. But what did he say? Karishye vachanam tava. I will do what is your words. He is not saying I'll fight. That is not the business of Arjuna to fight or not to fight. The business of Arjuna is to do what Krishna is telling him to do. Does it make sense? Samajh rahe hain is baat ko? He is not fighting because normally Kshatriya will fight to win the war. But he is not fighting to win or lose the war. He is fighting because Krishna wants the fight to be done. This is the mood of a devotee. Now somebody says, I am not qualified to preach and this and that. No, Krishna wants us to preach. The same Krishna who told Arjuna to fight, the same Krishna is coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us, Jare dekho, tare kaho, Krishna upadesh, amar agya guru haiya, tar aidesh. So there is no consideration whether I like it or don't like it, whether I'm qualified or not qualified. If I feel not qualified, then I should try to become qualified, learn the science of Bhagavad Gita and speak to others because by this I am doing the words or by I am executing the instructions of Lord Krishna in the form of Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Make sense to you? And even if during the war, if Arjuna was hit by some arrows, he did not stop fighting. Similarly, even if Maya hits me, I am not going to stop preaching. She hits me, I'll hit 2 times more, 10 times more. If she hits me, I'm not going to sit down. I'll fight back. I'll preach to more people. I'll tell more people about Krishna consciousness, and that is the only way I can be free from Maya. Prabhupada himself says, unless a person is constantly preaching to non-devotees, it is very difficult to overcome the influence of the modes of material nature. They will push us, and we can see that when we are preaching, we become active. We have to do so many things and we remain engaged in that way. These are exactly Srila Prabhupada's words, not my words. Prabhupada very nicely says, When a living entity accepts Krishna consciousness, it's a victory for Krishna. Just like Krishna wanted victory for Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, here also Krishna wants victory. And that victory is when the living entity accepts Krishna consciousness. And he will accept Krishna consciousness only when other Krishna consciousness devotees will speak about Krishna consciousness, help others take up Krishna consciousness. Yes, yes, yes. All these things have to be heard in the class and have to be dropped in the class. Yes, yes, yes. I must just wait for my prasadam, which is coming at 8:30. Yes, yes, yes. Let this Prabhu die talking about this thing, but I will not hear. I will not understand. Like Kalu Malu story. You know that. We'll realize very soon that how preaching Krishna consciousness is so much pleasing to Krishna. And we ourselves make advancement. In this world, men are not meant for quarreling like cats and dogs. I will highlight this in the video. In this world, men are not meant for quarreling like cats and dogs. So if we are quarreling, means we are cats and dogs. Because just like they fight over very petty matters, who will have a little piece of meat? Similarly, human beings may also fight over a little piece of land. And the main goal of going back to Godhead is forgotten on these points. Men must be intelligent to realize the importance of human life and refuse to act like ordinary animals. Beautiful point. Beautiful point. Refuse to act. Minimize this eating, sleeping, mating and defending as much as possible. Vishaha khalu sarvata syat. That is happiness of sense gratification is on all bodily forms. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to a little bit defend ourselves also. Mating is optional. So now, if we minimize them so that we remain healthy and keep our health good so that we can execute Krishna consciousness, that is a responsible human form of life. These are basic needs, but they are not the only needs. This is an instrument which needs some basic facilities, but what to do with an instrument has to be understood. A human being should realize the aim of his life, and this direction is given in all Vedic literatures, and the essence is given in Bhagavad Gita. Vedic literature is meant for human beings, not for animals. That's easy. Animals can kill other living animals, and there is no question of sin on their part. But if a man kills an animal for the satisfaction of his uncontrolled taste, he must be responsible for breaking the laws of nature. Very simple to understand. Cow will die, but she will not eat meat. A lion will die, but he will not eat grass. So you see, the laws of nature have restricted them to behave in a particular way. They cannot break the laws of nature. But human beings have been given this facility. If they want, they can break the laws. But then they cannot say, I don't want to be punished. With responsibility, with facility comes responsibility. Does it make sense? So we cannot say, I did not know dharma and now that's why I should not be punished. Can you say? I did not know the rules and regulations, so I must not be punished. Will anybody listen to that? Nobody. Why did you not know? Can you drive the car without license and say, I did not know. So like this. So human beings are supposed to know because they have a higher sense, higher consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita it is, and they have a consciousness by which they can, by hearing, they can know what I am going to do now, which will affect my future. How it will happen? By the process of bona fide hearing, they will know what they should do now, which will affect their future. Is it understandable? In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly explained that there are three kinds of activities according to the different modes of nature. The activities of goodness, of passion and of ignorance. Similarly, there are three kinds of edibles, also eatables in goodness, passion and ignorance. All of this is clearly described, and if we properly utilize the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, then our whole life will become purified and ultimately we will be able to reach the destination which is beyond this material sky. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dham parama mama. We hear it so often. We get used to these shlokas. But Bhagavad Gita is meant to take us back to Godhead. And who has spoken this? God himself. We sometimes tend to underestimate these statements. Krishna or God himself has spoken these words. Who has spoken these words? Sumudra Prabhu? Krishna. So Krishna himself has spoken so that Sumudra can come to him. Is it not? Yes. We say yes. And it's a fact. Can we imagine the mercy which Krishna is speaking to us? By following his instructions, we will all be one day with God. It can happen like this. Just like we had mentioned in the Hindi class, I may die today and then tomorrow I may be in a pig's body. And the same thing can be true. You die today and you can be in a spiritual body, in a spiritual world with Krishna directly. God face to face. Can you imagine the mercy which we can receive by the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and give to others? And you know that once a person starts Bhagavad Gita or practicing Krishna consciousness, his assurance of going to back to Godhead is 100% sure. Maybe some offense or whatever, he may just one or two lifetimes, three lifetimes, 10 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. But his going back to Godhead, it is assured. Now what to talk of a person who is sincere? You understand the point? So that is the point. Anybody who worships Krishna, like Sukadeva Goswami says, very beautiful, even once somebody brings the form of Krishna within his mind, Bhagavatam, Krishna gives him sarupya once in his life. Then what to talk of a person who every day sees Krishna's deity or chants Hare Krishna every day, follows the regulative principles, takes initiation under bona fide spiritual master. So not realizing the opportunity which we have got, a person may squander his human form of life, waste his human form of life. And that's why we should hear very strongly day after day, so our strength and conviction to practice Krishna consciousness remains at a very high level. I may appear to be speaking something very heavy, but these are not heavy words, they're actually inspiring words. It's just a sense of urgency we have to understand. And Prabhupada has not told us to do something very great, not 64 rounds or 192 rounds, 16 rounds minimum. Sometimes people test it, say 16 rounds maximum. There was sometimes some kind of preaching. Prabhupada told 16 rounds. Don't chant more than 16 rounds. How people foolish are. 16 rounds is minimum. You can chant more also. It's not a problem. It's good. But by the simple practice of chanting Hare Krishna, we will go back to Godhead. So we should not neglect this. Okay? That destination is called the Sanatana sky, the eternal spiritual sky. In this material world, we find that everything is temporary. It comes into being, stays for some time, produces some byproducts, dwindles and then vanishes. Many people in their WhatsApp, they will have the photo with their beautiful young wife and the wife is smiling and he's also looking very handsome. But they are not able to look 30 years down the line when he will not look handsome and the wife will not look beautiful. So they want to project an image. Oh, I'm so happy with a beautiful wife. But she won't be there also maybe. Maybe that person will also not remain there. And if both of them are there, in a very short time, both of them will become old and then they will die. People think it's a pessimistic attitude, but it's a realistic attitude. People forget about this, how this young age goes very fast and then we become old. And if you have practiced Krishna consciousness, and if you look back, then we become so satisfied. I have not wasted my years now. Just like in Isha Upanishad, a devotee is leaving his body and is praying to Krishna, Krishna, now I am leaving my body. Please remember whatever I have done. Kritasmaraha, kritasmaraha, kritasmaraha. Krita means done, smara. You remember whatever I have done for you. You please remember what I have done for you. Please remember what I have done for you. Beautiful meditation. But you must have done something for Krishna, isn't it? That's what one devotee was mentioning. We serve Krishna, then Krishna makes a note. Oh, this living entity has done some service. Oh, that's the baat. everything is vanished. That is the law of the material world. My Guru Maharaj beautiful puts it. Beautiful. If we become happy by glorifying Krishna, if we become happy by glorifying Krishna, we will swim in the ocean of happiness. Okay? But if we become happy in our own glories, the waves of time will erase it all. Beautiful statement, isn't it? If you actually become happy in Krishna's glory, chanting Hare Krishna, talking about Krishna, then you'll swim in the ocean of happiness. And waves of time cannot touch you. Time cannot touch you. The time spent in Krishna Katha, time cannot be taken away. But if I'm very happy to glorify myself, I'm a great man, oh, everything will be vanquished within a matter of time. So one should remember this point. And instead of trying to become glorious in this world, try to glorify Krishna in this world. That is the law of the material world, whether we use as an example this body or a piece of fruit or anything. That means everything is getting destroyed. But beyond this temporary world, there is another world of which we have information. And Prabhupada says that world is as real as the sun and moon which you can see. And the more we hear about it, the more our natural faith in the existence of Vaikuntha and Goloka becomes reconfirmed. More our faith that by executing devotional service to Krishna becomes reconfirmed. Samajh rahe hain? Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, I'll go back to Godhead. This faith becomes reconfirmed as our heart becomes purified. That's why we should chant very nicely, because as our heart gets purified, the faith becomes strengthened. So then naturally, oh no, I must chant Hare Krishna, I must do bhakti. But if we don't chant properly and don't neglect fully we behave, the heart doesn't get purified so fast. Then we might have doubts whether this works or not works like this. A very simple example. Suppose you have been suffering from a disease. Now you take a very powerful medicine. And say medicine say, okay, if you take for 1 month, you'll get cured. But you have to make a proper, you have to take the medicine as per the instructions. So now when you start taking it as per the instructions, you feel, begin to feel some benefit. Not full benefit, but some benefit. That gives you faith to follow the instructions sincerely so that you can cure the disease completely. Does it make sense? And if I do in the beginning itself, I don't follow properly, then the medicine's effect will not be so profound or pronounced, then I will not have faith to continue the medicine in future also. So very clearly, very nicely, one should understand how to execute devotional service, how to chant Hare Krishna, how to pay obeisances to spiritual master, how to pay obeisances to Krishna, how to offer food, how to do things properly. And if I do things properly, I'll get proper result and my faith will be reconfirmed and I would like to do those things in a proper way again and again, and that way my faith becomes increased. Does it make sense to you? Okay. Just like Prabhupada says, you have to accept Bhagavad Gita. The first point is you have to accept Krishna as God. If you don't understand this concept, then we can never understand Bhagavad Gita. Okay, that world consists of another nature which is Sanatana, eternal. Jiva is also described as Sanatana or eternal, and the Lord is also described as Sanatana in the 11th chapter. I'll stop here because now it will talk about the Sanatana or eternal Sanatana Dharma, or the eternal function of the living entity in relationship with Supreme Lord. That's a very an interesting subject matter, and I want you to be fresh in mind. It's quite a long class now. The mind must be tired now. So I'll just stop here. Any questions are there, I'll take up. Are there any questions? Arjuna don't want to fight, then why Krishna want to fight? Because Krishna wants to fight. No. Because Krishna says, yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever Krishna comes, then he wants to establish dharma and he wants to vanquish adharma. So he wanted to use his devotees to establish dharma and vanquish adharma. Nimitta matram bhavasabhya sachi. He wanted Arjuna to take the credit. He said that very clearly. So that's why he wanted Arjuna to fight. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. Speak in the mic.
My question is, there's five Pandava So why Lord Krishna is giving instruction, the Bhagavad Gita instruction to Arjuna only, but why they don't give to other four?
Okay. The question is, why Arjuna only has been given the Bhagavad Gita instructions, why not other four? Now, if Krishna would have given instruction to Yudhishthira, then you would have asked the same question. Why it was not given to the other four and only to Yudhishthira Maharaj? So he will use some devotee to glorify that devotee, and he will use one devotee to do a certain job. It's not difficult. All of them were pure devotee, but Krishna especially says that Arjuna is very dear to him because he is a very dear friend, and he wanted to speak that knowledge to Arjuna. It's a very simple answer. Krishna can make any devotee as his instrument. Just like Haridas Thakur was made Namacharya. So do you think Rupa Goswami Pad did not have taste for chanting Hare Krishna? What is your answer? Rupa Goswami Pad also had taste for chanting Hare Krishna, but then he was infinite taste, unlimited taste. Sanatan Goswami Pad had no taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Very heavy taste. Jayate Jayati. Jivanam Bhushanam. But he used Haridas Thakur ji to glorify holy name. Then he asked Sanatan Goswami to do certain services. He asked various services to be done by various devotees. That's it. Similarly, he made Arjuna the medium by which Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. That is his sweet will. Simple. One more question is there. Why God has given facility to humans to break laws? Is it his maya? No. He has given dharma. And dharma means laws of God, which will be anyhow discussed in tomorrow's class. And when the point is, when we follow laws, we get benefit. And when we break laws, we get punished. So human beings have been given this intelligence by which they can understand what is dharma, behave as per that, and get benefit. Why we are feeling problem? The problem is this, because from the beginning of our life, we are not taught dharma. From the beginning of our life, we are not taught dharma. In earlier education system, in Varnashram system, from the 5 years of age, before 5 years of age, or 14 years of age, you don't get any sin. But anyways, much before that, since 5 years of age, the child is taught what is dharma. He's engaged in dharma. So he knows what is dharma and he does not perform sins in general. And then what to talk of being educated in devotional service. And there is no question about dharma. Are you able to understand this point? So Krishna has given this facility to human beings so that they can execute dharma, and dharma, that means laws given by God, become benefited and then become elevated either to the upper planetary systems or to the spiritual world. So he has given this free will to the living entities to surrender to him or to not surrender to him. But the living entities in the lower form of life cannot exercise their free will. They cannot serve Krishna. But in the human form of life, if a person properly understands, and he can only understand in human form of life, then he can go back to God very easily. So it's an opportunity. It is not maya. And any other question? Okay, no questions here. Any other question?
Understanding from Prabhuji's question. Like Krishna loves his devotees particularly.
Krishna loves his devotees particularly, okay.
And Krishna wants to glorify his devotees particularly. That's why he uses
Arjuna. So I'm saying any particular devotee, he loves all his devotees, and any particular devotee he would like to give credit and glorify in a particular way. So he wanted Arjuna to take the credit of Bhagavad Gita like this. But doesn't mean that, and then he made Yudhishthira Maharaj the emperor after Bhagavad Gita, after this Mahabharata war. So he wants to engage every devotee differently. Okay? Okay, thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.